By what does the four mean on Pesach? Four courses and four songs. There must be a meaning.
There are plenty of meanings. That's going to be a whole shiur, but maybe now we'll talk about a different number. We'll see. We're Siyata Dishmaya. We're holding back in Sefer Mishlei, Perachav Pasuk Yud Ches. And with Siyata Dishmaya, we will connect it to Pesach. We'll see. Let's just stay tuned. In the meantime, turning to Pasuk Yud Ches, Shlomo Melech relates, Machshavos Be'itza Tikon. If you want your thoughts to be firmly established, if you want them to remain, to stay firm, what do you have to do? You have to go ahead and take those machshavas and you have to mix them into Eitzah, which is seeking advice and counsel. And what's this idea? Rabbeinu Yonah writes as follows. We're talking about a process that begins with stage number one, which is, before you go to seek the advice of other people, analyze and tackle, address the situation and the question yourself. Before you stomp run to anybody else, nobody knows the situation as well as you do. If you're in it and you're grappling with a dilemma, with a quandary, first, go ahead and take out the time, deliberate, use your own machshavas, your own brain, your own thoughts, and try and devise a mahalech, a plot, an approach. But don't go ahead and just sit back and say, oh, I thought it through, and now I'm ready to go. You always have to seek eitzah. You always have to seek counsel. You have to run by other people. What's the reason? Writes the Meiri, one of the Gedolei Rishonim, because we all have negios, we all have things that interfere. We have biases. We're always partial to our own way of thinking. We don't always see things with almost clarity. Therefore, we have to go to an objective bystander, somebody on the outside, a Talmid Chacham, a Rav, a Rebbe, a Mora, someone who can guide us, coach us, give us advice, even if it's going to be a friend of the Meiri, says. But it's somebody outside of us who can see and sees the situation from a completely impartial and unbiased perspective. You always have to seek other people's advice, otherwise your machshavos will not remain. As a well-known maisa of the Sma, is the Sefer Meir Seinayim, one of the foremost commentators on Chosh Mishpat, one of the four sections of the Shulchan Aruch. And there was a well-known maisa, an incident with the Sma, and that the Sma had a din Torah with somebody else. So they went in front of three Dayanim. Remember, the Sma was one of the Gedolei Hador. And he wrote one of the major commentaries on all the Shulchan Aruch, which deals primarily with business matters. And here the Sma comes in front of these Dayanim. And the Dayanim say, okay, Sma, go ahead, we're giving you the floor. Tell us what you think. And he gave them a half hour, 45 minute pupil of Lumdis. And he brought in all the Rishonim and Achonim. And he gave them a compelling, convincing argument why he indeed was right. And at the end of the day, they listened to the other side, and the Sma was convinced. And then, of course, he's going to win out. They said, Sma, you gave us an amazing argument. It was brilliant. It was unbelievable, people. The problem is, we have to paskin negative. We have to paskin against you. Why? He says, but I gave you a great argument. He says, yeah, but we found a mafurish Sma against you. We opened up the Chosh Mishpat, and we found something that you wrote in your commentary on the Shulchan Aruch that contradicts what you just told us. As in the other day, the Sma lost his own din Torah because of a Sma. Because of something that he wrote when he wasn't biased and he had no negias, and he's writing the straight letter of the law. So the Sma was the Sma. But when you have a din Torah, what happens? We always have negias. As the same famous story of Chaim Brisker. And the Brisker of, when he was doing Shemesh by his father for so many years, as some day, an ani, an impoverished, destitute individual, approached Reb Chaim, and the Gadol Dor, and he bought an expensive cow. And this was this poor person's only cow, and it was a shayla after they shechted it, and then maybe it was a treifa. And he bought it to Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim looked it over, and he paskin, what can I tell you? He tried to go out and be lenient, but there were no leniencies to be found. And in the end, he had to tell this ani, I'm sorry, your cow is treif. Cow is treif? As an expensive cow, several hundred dollars worth at the time. And he lost the entire value of the cow. 2 weeks and he's a makabel. That's what they're off. Paskin, that's it. Arini makabel, it wasn't meant to be. 2 weeks later, he has a din Torah, about $100 with a friend. Our the colleague comes in front of Rav Chaim to go in and paskin the Shiloh. And Rav Chaim, a brisker paskins like the friends, not like him. And all of a sudden, he's screaming at the rabbi and he's calling him names. And he says, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. How could that be? And the brisker Rav looks to his father. And he says, Tati, I don't understand. He says, 2 weeks ago, the same guy came in front of you. You paskin on this final Jadala cow that it's straight, and he was makabel it. And now all of a sudden, $100 with somebody else, and he can't tolerate it. He says, now he's calling the rough names. How can he do that? What's going on? The same person, he says, very simply, he says, 2 weeks ago, he says, no big deal that the cow won. The cow won. He lost. The cow won. He's makabel. But now he lost to somebody else. And now there's someone else. It's not that I lost $100. If you lose $100 bill, that's one thing. Oh, but that he should get my $100. Now there's a din Torah. Who owns the $100? That he couldn't tolerate. That he couldn't deal with. When somebody else wins, that's the problem. And then we have Negias. We can have all the arguments we believe. The Rav knows what he's talking about. And if the Paskins, the cow was straight, Haredi Mekabel. Oh, but all of a sudden the other guy won. That we can't be sofa. In the end, we have to seek advice. If we have a Shiloh, we go to Rav, we go to Rebbe, we go to a Beis Din, whatever it is, but you have to go in and seek counsel to know that it can last. How do you seek counsel? You have to find someone who is impartial, someone outside of you, but it doesn't have to be always the Gol Hador, like the Mira says. It could be a friend, it could be a colleague, someone who could seize the predicament, the ordeal, and size it up for what it really is. As a Maisa told over of a Chassid, who had a young Rebbe. He had a young Rebbe, and he used to bring all the Shilas to the young Rebbe. And he was Matzliach. He was Matzliach in his Ruchnias. He was Matzliach in his Gashmias. And he always brought these Shilas to his local Rebbe. And all of a sudden, 1 week, his Rebbe wasn't there. And he wondered, he says, he asked all the Hasidim, oh, where's the Rebbe this week? And they told him, well, once a year he goes and he travels a few hundred miles. And he goes to visit his Rebbe. And he goes to his older Rebbe. And he asks him his own personal Shilas. So he says, what am I wasting my time over here with this young rabbi? Now let me go to the rabbi's rabbi. All right, let me pick up my family. And I'll move and I'll go to the Rebbe's Rebbe. And I'll be even more Matzliach. And he picks up his family and he moves. And he brings all the Shilas to his Rebbe's Rebbe. And he's not Matzliach. And Ruchnius isn't going so well. And his Gashmius, his business isn't doing so well. And he can't figure it out. He goes over to the Rebbe. He says, I'm instead. He says, when I asked about Shilas, I was Matzliach. I went to your Rebbe. And now I'm Matzliach. He says, very simple. He says, God had you live in this town. In this town, I was your Rebbe. You're going to go to another town. It doesn't work that way. God sends you the rabbi, the Rebbe that you need. In the end of the day, you're going to get what you need. If you start looking for something else, you won't necessarily be Matzliach. I remember I had the Shiloh years ago with my own Rebbe, Gaon Rav Tzvi Berkowitz. I married the oldest granddaughter of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. There were times that I asked him as well, maybe I should go to the Gol Hador, to Chaim Kanevsky. Maybe I should go in the end of the day. But if this is who Hashem made my Rebbe, the Siyata Deshmaya is going to be through that. In the end of the day, a Gol Hador might be the Gol Hador, but it doesn't mean that he knows you better than your own Rebbe. He might know you better than he knows your situation. I remember years ago, Rav Palm, one of the Gedolei Hador in America, he came and he spoke at a Sunday morning breakfast here in the neighborhood. And I figured I may as well go. It was Bein Hazmanim. I saw the sign. It was at a house in Sun Park. I said, oh, you know what, Derech Agav, I'll get some free bagels and lox. And I schlepped one of my younger brothers along. I said, we'll get some free breakfast and we'll get to hear Rav Palm, one of the Gedolei Hador. And after the breakfast, I saw that Rav Palm was sitting there by himself. I said, what an opportunity. I went over and I started asking Rav Palm big questions. What should I do in life? Should I pursue this career, that career? And he listened and he looked at me and he says, you have to ask your own Rebbe. He says, I don't know you. He says, I could tell you certain objective advice, but he says, these are questions. You have to speak to someone who knows you, who knows your situation, who knows where you come from. He says, I don't know you. He says, how can I give you advice? And that was Rav Palm. And that's a good goal. People think, let's run. You run to Rav Chaim Kanevsky for bracha, but it doesn't mean you run to Rav Chaim and ask him about something in the five towns when he doesn't know the five towns. I remember once I was with Rav Eli Yomon, one of the closest people to Rav Chaim Kanevsky, and I was being escorted in with Rav Yomon. He arranged some private time with Rav Chaim, and I had a list of questions, and I said to him, can I ask Rav Chaim questions about the internet? And he said, no. I says, what do you mean no? He says, he doesn't know what the internet is. I says, he doesn't know what the internet is. How could he ask him questions? What happens? People come in and they try to describe the internet. He doesn't know what the internet is. He doesn't have a sheikh to the internet. They bought to Chaim Kanivsky years ago, and when they had cassettes, I don't know if you remember, right, the days when there were cassettes, before MP3 players and everything digital, we had cassettes. In fact, I have a friend who told me this story a few weeks ago. He had his young teenage son in the car with him, and his teenage son had an iPhone. And he comes into his old car. He had bought a used car. And remember the old cassette decks? Instead of the CD discs, I had a cassette disc. So he takes his iPhone, and he puts it into the cassette deck. His father says, "What are you doing?" He says, "Yaakov, what are you doing?" He says, "Isn't this an iPhone recharging station?" I had no idea. He never saw a cassette in his life. So he had no idea. He thought, "This is where I recharge my iPhone." I had no shaykhus. It's a whole different world. So years ago, they bought a cassette of a shmooze of Rabbi Yosef Zatzal. And they bought Rav Chaim a cassette. And he had never played a cassette in his life. And they bought him a cassette. And they said, "If you play this, you'll hear your shver, Rabbi Yosef, who gave a beautiful shmooze the other day. I gave a shiur and a shmooze. And he'll be able to listen to it." So he took the cassette, he put it to his ear, and he says, "I don't hear anything." I didn't know what a tape recorder. I said, one time he was being driven by a Talmud, and the Talmud kept looking down at the stick shift. And so Chaim says, he was getting a little nervous, he kept looking off the road. He says, "Yosef, you look at the road, and I'll mix up the gas for you." But that's a different world. Chaim says, people go and they ask him, they're shyless about this and the other. And you have to know. You have to make sure that he knows where you're coming from and the world that you're coming from. That's why Hashem puts us in places. And you have someone who has to know you and your challenges and where you're coming from. When we get up to based on Shamayla, so many Sfarim write, who's going to judge us when Hashem's based in a based on Shamayla? You have a Kodesh Baruch Hu who is the Ab based, and who do you think is going to sit on the based in? We're not going to have the Chavetz Chaim on our based in. We're not going to have Rabbi Kevego, the Vilna Gaon, on our based in. We're not going to have Moshe Rabbeinu on our based in. And we're going to have the Sfarim write, the Gedolim who know our challenges, our Nisyonos. It's going to be the Gedolim of our generation. They're the ones who knew what it was living in the year 2017 and knew what the challenges of society and the different Yetzer Haras were all about. Those are the ones to judge. They're the ones who knew what we had to deal with on a day-to-day basis. So if you want your thoughts to stay firm and to be rooted and established here in this world, machshavas be'etzah, your own thoughts have to be intertwined with seeking the advice, the wise counsel of other people, and it doesn't stop there. You got to be ready to wage war. Pashtus, simplistic understanding against your enemies. Against your enemies, that's how Rabbeinu Yonah and the Meiri and other Rishonim learn. When you're battling your enemies, and that's expressed in all types of enemies, Das Sofrim says, even enemies within your own camp, even people sometimes you think they're on your side, they might be pulling some deceit, they might be deceiving you in some way, form or fashion. You have to arm yourself with one machshavas. Think the process through. Think about how you're going to tackle the situation, the quandary on your own. And then run it by somebody else. Seek out the advice, ideally of a chacham. But then it can't stop there. But tachbulos, you got to develop and devise your own strategies. And only then can you wage war. Yaakov Avinu, he knew how to go ahead and set up his camp in such a way, preparing for battle against an Esau. So that's the pashas to your enemies. But what enemies are we really talking about? Rashi and the Vilna Gaon on the heels of Rashi learn. We're talking about fighting the Yetzer Hara, fighting the Satan. Comes Rashi. And Rashi writes, then in Basel lehilachim kenegan ha-Satan. And the Gemara says in Bava Basra, who are Yetzer Hara? Who are Satan? Who are Malach HaMavis? How are you going to fight the Satan? A member of the Gemara tells us it's one-on-one the same being. He starts out as the Yetzer Hara, tries to conjure up different things to get us to do Averus, tries to be Mesis, to seduce us and lure us into sin. After that, when we do the Avera, Rachman al-Itzlan, he comes as the Satan, which is the Lashon Mastin. He comes to tell on you to the Ribon Hashem. He comes to report the messages back. God, look at the Averus that he did, and now he wants to come back as the Malach HaMavis and mete out punishment. So you want to battle the Satan before he can do bad things. How do you battle him? Ba b'tachbulos. What are the strategies? Rashi writes three. Tshuva, Tefillah, and Tainus. Now we know Nisan HaTokev, Tshuva, Tefillah, Tzedakah. Avada, certainly Tzedakah, is a form of Tainus. A person can even redeem a fast day And by being poda, the value of the meals that you ordinarily would have eaten on that day, you redeem it with money. So tzedakah is a form of tshuva, tzedakah tzatzim mavus. We had it earlier, Mishlei, twice, both in the beginning of Perek Yud and again in the beginning of Perek Yud Aleph. The Gemara relates in Bava Basra, Daf Yud, and Shabbos Kufrin Vav, how unbelievable stories, how tzedakah is tzatzim mavus. So we have tainus, we have tzedakah, we have tefillah, and we have tshuva. And these are ways, after the person did the Avera, of fighting that sultan to prevent and preclude any harm coming your way. The Vilna Gaon echoes the sentiment of Rashi, and the girl writes, and we're talking about the machama against the Yetzahara. Who are Yetzahara? And v'ilchom im haYetzahara tzarch pa'atzmo lasos tachbulos. You have to devise strategies. How am I going to fight him? Ein amol is a Yetzabavad bil titachbulos, and all the advice in the world isn't going to work. You need to have all, like the Gemara relates in Maseches Brachos and Abdallah and Beis, Arig Zuviyal Techato, the Olam Yargiz Odom Yetzotova Yetzahara. Yargiz is a machoma. You got to make a machoma. You got to wage war against the Sultan. You get up in the morning, every day it's a war. Sultan says, don't get out of bed, don't go to the Shir, you don't have to daven. Take it easy. Yiskaber Kori, the first message in the Torah, the Shulchan Aruch is, Yiskaber Kori, you got to muster up that Kibur to say, every day I'm ready for battle. The Gemara relates in Sukkot and Beis, Amr of Yitzhak, Bachol Yom Yom Yitzhak Shalodim Yiskaber Lov. Every day, there's no such thing in Yiddishkeit as, oh, I fought this Yetzahara, I did what I needed to do, that's it, over and done with, I got him out of the way, and now I could go weiter. The Yetzahara is there, it's a ubiquitous presence of the evil inclination. He is there every day it's a new war, it's a new battle. If he lost in the past, he's going to try again in the present. The greater you are, the greater you become, the more he tries to get you. It's the same way the Stipler writes in Karni Digger. So people think, oh, I got a big Yetzirah for X, Y, and Z. For this and that, well, it must be I'm not holy. No, the greater the Yetzirah, it's a sign. Why is he working so hard? He's working so hard because he wants to get the greater you become. He himself gets greater. It's a different battle. Those battles that great people fight are far greater. Same way the Gemara relates in Sukkot and Beis. When La'asa Lovo in the future, Hashem is going to shecht the Yitzhara. The Rishama going to see the Yitzhara as a small little nothing. And they're going to say, I succumbed to this. And the Choma going to see it as a big mountain. Well, how did I overcome it? The idea is, Yitzhara says, for the petty people, I get them easy. I get them easy. I don't have to fight the people that always succumb to their temptations. I don't have to try that hard. Oh, but the Tzadikim and the Gedolim, I got to work all the time. So someone asked the question. I heard this years ago from a Talmud Chacham from Brooklyn. I was driving. He says, what does that mean, the Vilna Gaon? The Vilna Gaon had a greater Yetzirah for money, a greater Yetzirah for covet. What does that mean? He says it means that whatever his Yetzirah is, that Yetzirah is so much greater proportionally for the girl than our Yetzirahs are for us. For example, what do you think the Yetzirah of the Vilna Gaon was? Vilna Gaon, he was a non-of. He was the Gaon Hador, hands down. And what was he? He didn't have Titus Achila. He didn't care about Achila. What did he need? The Vilna Gaon mastered every chokhma in the world. This Talmud, the Rabbi Yisrael Mishklov, writes in the introduction in the Sefer Pasa Shulchan, the Vilna Gaon made us see him, not just on Kol Torah Kula many times over, but he made us see him when he completed all the wisdoms of the world. The Vilna Gaon finished all the wisdoms, and he goes on to list that. There's Hadassah, there's astronomy, there's algebra, mathematics. And he goes on through a whole list and he says, Chokhmasa Musika, the wisdom of music. And if you know the wisdom of music, you could be Machayim Mesa. Moshe Rabbeinu was given the wisdom of music in our Sinai. Why we mention that so many people the world over wake up day after day to the sounds of music. It speaks directly to the soul. And the Vilna Gaon mastered them all. He mastered every wisdom in the world except for two. What do you think those two were? And Kishuv, to be a member of the Sanhedrin, you have to be an expert in black magic, sorcery, and witchcraft. Now, Kishuv is a way of utilizing powers of evil in the world to contradict the Bria. It's called Kishuv, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, because it's Machashven Pamal Yishamaya. It contradicts the way God had originally set the world to be. Kishuv is using black magic, and you could change things. I had the famous case of the Kala who came home with their chosen, and the parents are beside themselves. They say, what type of crazy guy is this? The feathers all over, and he's carrying a spear in his hand, and he's got paint all over his face. And they said, what'd you do? They said, what do you mean? I thought you told... No, we said, marry a rich doctor. Not a witch doctor. What are these crazy things? The powers of Kishava, black magic and sorcery. There are powers in the world. The Ramchal explains there have to be those powers in the world. Why? Because Shlomo Melch writes in the pages of Koheles, chapter 7, verse 14, Zeh l'uma zeh solokim. God has the powers of Tov and powers of evil. Emes versus Sheker. There are powers of Tov in the world using various names of God. You can go in and manipulate nature. The Shemus HaKadoshim, names of God, 42 name of God, Vahulai, so many different names of Hashem, you can manipulate nature. But again, you're not allowed to use those names if you're a Mekubal Ness. And you have a real reason to use them. It's not simple at all. The Shach discusses exceptions in Yerodei Simukafai and Tess, when and where you're allowed to use different names of God, in case you happen to know any of them. But there are powers of evil that could contradict the way that God set up the world to be. And that is Kishuv. The Gro mastered Kishuv to be a member of the Sanhedrin. You have to know Kishuv. But there's an aspect of Kishuv called Chochmas HaSovit, how to mix different grasses of the world to do Kishuv, and there was only one person in the world in the day of the Gro in the 1700s who still had that wisdom, and the Gro looked into it and said he was a Rosh Amrusha, I can't have anything to do with him, and he didn't learn that Chochmah. That was one Chochmah that was off limits. The next was he mastered Chochmas Refuah, medicine, and Nisuach, but Chochmas HaSimimonim, to be the world's most famous pharmacist, how to mix different herbs and potions and dyes, and come up with all the panaceas, all the cure-alls to cure every disease. The Vilna Gaon's father had told him, I don't want you to master that wisdom, because if you master that wisdom, the world's going to line up outside your door, and you're going to be spending all day long acting as the world's most famous doctor, which is great, but right now the world needs the Vilna Gaon. And you'll never become the Vilna Gaon if you master that wisdom. So imagine now the Vilna Gaon, who mastered everything in the world there was to know. And now his father says, this one is off limits. This wisdom, what's his Yetzirah? His Yetzirah is not for money, it's not for coven. His Yetzirah was for wisdom. And the Gemara says in Chagiga Daf Yadalit, you're not allowed to delve too deeply into Maisa Bracious and to Maisa Merkava. You can't delve too deeply into the world of Kabbalah. We have cases in the Gemara. People who went into the world of Pardes, they went in too deeply and they got burned, they were Nizok. Why? Didn't these Chacham know? Because it was so tempting. They wanted to know everything. If you're a Chacham, you want to know all the hidden secrets of the universe, but there are limits. That's the greatest Yetzirah. The Yetzirah is of the Vilna Gaon, to want to master Maisa Bracious, Maisa Merkava, to want to master the one Chokhmah that his father told him not to learn, is much greater than our craving for money or our craving for chocolate. It's Ein Adome. It's Mamish, a different world. So in order to fight the Yitzharo, we have the Miri says a three-step process. Machshav is your own thoughts. So you have to mix them into the advice and counsel of others greater and bigger and outside of yourselves. Then your thoughts will be established, but you will not win the war. You might win battles. You won't emerge victorious from fighting the Yitzharo, the Satan, and your enemies unless you develop and design strategies of your own. And with those Chachamim with whom you consult, you'll devise the right tactics and strategies how to wage war against the Yitzharo, who is there to fight you day after day.
Why do they have to have the Sanhedrin? Why do they
have to have these other things? Because they had to know to Paskin, you had all different types of people. You had different types. There are a lot of them in the Torah, for example, Ov and Yedoni, and there are different ways of using black magic and using dead bones of people to go ahead and bring up people from the dead. Again, we don't have this Chochmah today. Because we don't have Nevi'im today. It's always Zelo Mazet. But years ago, they had this Chochmah called Kishuv, and it would result in also doing certain Averis in the Torah. So the Sanhedrin has to Paskin. They have to go ahead and Paskin accordingly. Did this person really use Kishuv? How did they do this? How did they call up this spirit from the dead? They have to know exactly the how these mechanics of how these things work in order to judge appropriately.
Rabbi, you said that the Satan tells on us to the Rabbon Shalom. The Rabbon Shalom knows everything. The Satan doesn't have to tell on us. 100%.
The Rabbon Shalom knows everything. The Pasuk says in Yirmiyah Yitzayin, he is choker leiv ubochen klayus. He knows everything we're thinking of. But the way God set it up, he has these robots called angels. And he set it up that it should always work as it works down here. As it works down here also, what happens, you go to a Din Torah, even if a dying can read your mind, or he knows you, and he knows what you're thinking, we have a process, and we always go through the process. And God says, I follow the same process. There's a litigant, there's a prosecutor, the same way you get at the Shemayim. Why does God need a Beis Din? God knows all those thoughts that drove your actions, your mitzvahs, your averus. God says, I follow the Torah. I do the Torah the same way that it's done down here. And if I set it up that you should have a Beis Din, and that means what? You get to present your case. What happens when we get up to Shemayim, when we go to Beis Din Shemayla, it's set up, you have that tribunal. Hashem is there, and you have those Dayanim from your day and age who knew your Nisyonos HaChayim. And what happens? All the angels created by all the mitzvahs, semasim, tovim, and tznokim, chesed that you did, they come to defend you. And you have the sultan who comes to prosecute and comes to say, and the angels hear all the mirrors. So you have your prosecutor, you have your defendant, and you have the Beis Din that comes and judges you. God brings into account all the difficulties in the machshava that the Beis Din wouldn't know. God brings that to the table. He brings all the yisurin to the table. But God says, I always structure my world upstairs the same way that is down here. The Gemara even relates, what is Hashem busy doing all day? So we know from the Midrash in the beginning, Reish Rabbi, he's mezavig zivugim. Once God created the world, he's putting zivugim together. In addition, he's learning whatever we're learning down here. Whatever Jews the world over are learning, Hashem in the Mesifta Durakia is speaking over all the halachas of things that we learn down here. Hashem above follows the Torah in the same manner that he follows down here, which is why I'll share with you a fascinating story. True story. Of Ramesha Shapiro that I just heard recently. I shared it in a few different venues. True story. It's actually the hesped that he gave at his young daughter's levaya. Ramesha Shapiro was in the States for a couple of years. We know he just passed away this year, but he lost a daughter at the young age of 16 many years back. Ramesha Shapiro. So what do you think his hesped was? He got up at his hesped, and someone who was there at an askara of the shloshim of Ramesha Shapiro, that's all, said that the speaker related this maisa because the speaker was standing next to Ramosha when Ramosha was speaking at the hesped for his daughter. And Ramosha, in the middle of his hesped, after having lost his daughter after fighting cancer for years, he said, I don't have any tainus in the Ribbono Shel Olam. I don't have any tainus. I know the Ribbono Shel Olam Harein Mekabel Es HaYisur in Alive. Belishim tainus. I have no tainus, no complaints in the Avishtar. But what I do have is a kasha. I have a kasha in the Ribbono Shel Olam. What's my kasha? We have a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. And halacha says if Reuven and Shimon are shutfim, if Reuven and Shimon are partners, let's say Reuven and Shimon own a car. And Reuven wants to take that car down to Florida. He wants to go to a Pesach hotel in Florida. He heard that everyone's staying away because of the Zika virus. So all the hotels are empty, which I heard from another people in Florida. They said it was the best. They went to Disney. They went to Epcot. They said the lines were the shortest they've ever been over Pesach because so few people came to Florida. So let's say you're Reuven and you own this car with Shimon. And you say, I'm going to take this car and I'm going to go down to Florida and I'm going to have it with me in Florida. Are you allowed to do that? No. Because you own it 50-50 with Shimon. If you want to take the car that you own jointly, halakha, you have to ask Shimon permission. You can't just take the car. So he says, I have a kasha on the Ribbono Shel Olam. We know that Ribbono Shel Olam observes the Torah upstairs the same way we do down here. It says, the Gemara relates in Maseches Nida Daf Lamed Amud Beis, Shlosha Shutfin Ba'adam. There are three partners. Hashem gives the neshama, but the husband, the father gives certain things, gives five main characteristics. The mother gives five main characteristics. Hashem provides the rest. 10, 5, and 5. It's a partnership. It says, I don't have tainus in how the Ribbono Shel Olam could take away my daughter. But I have a kasha. If Hashem keeps his Torah, and we paskin Allah l'maisa that we have a shutfus, how could Hashem take away my daughter without asking me permission first? Wow. How could he take away my daughter without asking my wife's permission first? We were all shutfim. So how could Hashem not ask the shutfim, his partners in creation? How come he didn't ask us with shus if we're willing to let our daughter go to Gan Eden? He has to ask us. That's my kasha Ribbono Shel Olam. And then he said, I found an answer. Says the Avni Miluim brings a Chuvas HaRashba, one of the Gedolei Rishonim. And the Rashba writes, and this is how he paskin, and that if Reuven knows beyond a shadow of a doubt, and that I'm going to take this car down to Florida, and I know that there's a buyer in Florida who's going to give us, we paid $20,000 for this car, this is part of a collector's dream, he wants to get this 1957 Chevy, for whatever reason. And I pay $10,000. He's going to give us $1 million for this car. This is a collector's piece. He's been looking for years. It still has a cassette deck and everything. And he's been looking for years. If Reuven knows beyond a shadow of a doubt, and that Shimon his partner, if he knew about this deal, would agree in a second to this deal, and then Reuven doesn't have to ask Shimon permission first. If you know, Reuven, that you're going to take this car, sell it for $1 million, and you'll pay back Shimon way more than he ever imagined, and then you don't have to ask Shimon permission first. He says, that was the answer to my kasha. He says, I know that Hashem wouldn't go against his Torah. So if Hashem took away the item of the partnership that we as partners created together. And must be that he took our daughter to such an amazing place, to such an incredible place in Gan Eden, that he would say, Ramosha, if you would know where your daughter is in Gan Eden now, you would know the million plus dollars that she has in Gan Eden. If you would know what I know, you would agree in a second that this is the best place for her right here in hell. And then you don't have to ask us permission. Says that's the only answer. It must be that he took her to such a great place, to such an amazing place, that Hashem knows, Ramosha, I'm going to show you and your wife one day, when you pass away after 120, I'm going to show you where I bought your daughter, the Tzedekah, who died at a young age, who wasn't deserving of being taken away from this world. And I'm going to show you the amazing Gan Eden by the Kisei Kavod that I gave her. And when I show you what I gave her, you're going to look back and say, oh, now I realize the shut if you gave us a $1 million deal. And now we're going to accept it. Says, that's the answer to my kasha. That's how Moshe Shapiro said it to Levaya of his own daughter.
Could have taken her away at 98.
He could have taken her in what? But she wouldn't necessarily have gotten the same Gan Eden as going away at 16. He's saying she did her job in this world. She did her job and she's in an unbelievable place. And Hashem knows that one day I'm going to show, just like Reuven, he got $1 million. Shimon might be upset, but one day Reuven's going to show Shimon how this was the best deal imaginable. We might not see it right now, but Hashem's saying, Ramosha, just be patient. And now that Ramosha passed away, Hashem is showing Ramosha clearly why it had to happen, that he had to lose his daughter at a young age. That's a test of life. Test of life is the waiting patiently until we get to Shemayim to see why Hashem orchestrated things the way that he did. So that's how we have to live life, always battling the Yitzhar. Continue on to Pasuk Yud Tes. Gola Son Holech Rachel. Three types of people with whom we should not intermingle. Number one is a gola sod, someone who discloses, reveals secrets. Halech rochel, someone who spreads lashon hara. Someone who is a bearer of tales, is always going ahead and sharing lashon hara, rachilus, machashemer, and the like. And number three, olapotes fasa. We're not talking about stama pesi, a simpleton. We're talking about someone who is a simpleton. Regarding his lips, meaning what? As Rabbi Yonah writes, he doesn't think before speaking. Someone who's a simpleton, and just says whatever comes to mind, Messiah Klafi Tumo, based on his innocence, and he doesn't think before he speaks. And that's a posus fossa. What's the common thread? What's the common denominator through the aforementioned cases? It is someone who is revealing hidden things, things that are not supposed to be spread. They go out and they share that information. You have a person who likes to tell secrets. The famous case of the three psychiatrists. And they got together for lunch one day and they said, okay, you know, we're busy giving advice to all these people. You know, we don't tell our own troubles, our own problems to our colleagues. Now's a chance, three psychologists getting together. Let's share our own problems. The first one says, I'll tell you, I have a gambling addiction. And he goes on about a gambling addiction. He says, it's crazy. I get money. I go to Atlantic City. I spend all the money right away. Cramps and playing the slot machines, I can't control myself. The second one says, yeah, I have a drinking problem. It's crazy. Whiskey, bourbon, I can't stop. When I come home at night, I'm always drinking. And he says, the third one. And what's your face? Says, I can't ever keep a secret. A gola sod is someone who can't keep a secret. Olech Rachel, he can keep a secret, but he loves the excitement of spreading lashon hara. And he loves spreading lashon hara and gossip. Person number two, what again? He's revealing that which is supposed to remain concealed. So he's not as bad. He's not doing it maliciously. He's not doing it with intent. He is such a simpleton, but what? He doesn't think before he speaks. It's something he just says. She just says whatever comes to mind. Allah, don't mingle with those types of people. Because what? The Malbim says, this comes immediately on the heels of the preceding verse, to tell you what? We have a lot of battles. We have battles against our enemies, external enemies, against our internal enemies, against the internal enemy, the Yetzirah. We have all these battles. We've got to come up with strategies and tactics. We have to come up with thoughts and processes. We have to seek advice. But you know, don't share that information with everybody else. You don't have to share your Yetzirah battles with every other Tom, Dick, and Harry. If you have enemies out there in the world, even practical, physical people with whom you don't get along, don't go ahead and intermingle with people. If you have to get things off your chest and you have to share that information, don't share with someone who's a Baal Lashon Hara. Don't share with someone who's going to reveal secrets, or even a potus fossa who is a simpleton with her lips. Because what's going to happen? She's going to create more machlokes and by spreading more malicious remarks and gossip, and nashanar rechilos, and make sure not to intermingle with those people. Again, you have to guard your mouth. So that's the idea. And that whatever those fights are in this world, keep it internal. Don't mix with people who can make it an external battle and just create more machlekes. But the common theme is, and you got to watch with whom you intermingle, and it's got to be staying away from those people who cannot properly guard their power of speech. One of the ways we got out of Mitzrayim, the Yalkut Shimoni says, besides lo shino shema es lashonim es malbu sheyem, not only did we not change our vernacular, our indigenous tongue, lashon hakodesh, we didn't change our mode of dress, mitzuyan imsham, we stayed separate, isolated, but in addition, we didn't speak lashon hara, we didn't spread lashon hara, and that is that power of speech, that's what maintains the purity of our koach hatfilah, and that's why v'yishma Hashem es na'akasim, Hashem listened to our tefilos, because they were pure, unadulterated, they weren't adversely affected by the pejorative and negative speech, and we guarded our speech, that's what got us out of Mitzrayim. People who don't know how to guard their speech, you got to stay away from. And the worst people who use their power of speech in a wrong manner is the very next pasuk. Since we're focusing on the power of speech, Shlomo continues on, a mekalel aviv v'imo. It's one thing to go ahead and reveal secrets, spread lashon hara, but what could do the most damage is what? As if you take your power of speech, and not only do you not respect your parents, but chalil v'chas, you go out and curse your parents. And the Mepharshim say again, not just your parents, but people who raised you, people who were instrumental in your growth, spiritual growth, as well in this world, if you now misuse and abuse that power of speech, and you curse your parents, Yidach Nero Be'eshon Choshech. What's going to happen? Yidach Nero is your light. And the Mepharshim say this is a reference metaphorically to Mishlei, Parakvot Pasuk Gimel earlier, Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. Your light, what's your light? The flickering neshama that's bright inside of you. Yidach will now flicker out and eventually become extinguished. When? Be'eshon Choshech, in the deepening darkness of night. What is that a reference to? The Alshah says Gehenna. A person is going to suffer Gehenna if you misuse and abuse that power of speech, that you not only do not use it to give honor, not only do you reveal secrets, but you actually curse, and not just stop to curse a person, but to curse your parents who brought you into the world, who raised you, the ones to whom you have to express. The Malbim says, Akar Satov. That is the greatest abuse of that power of speech. That's why it's a separate law from the Torah. And what's going to happen? How rights are you to kill? We know that one of the rewards you get for Kabbalah Sefer Vasim Mecha is Laman Yerichin Yamecha. You're going to get a Riches Yomim B'Shanit. And the antithesis is, if you take that mitzvah, Kibbutz Avim, which brings with it longevity, and instead you turn that power of speech and you curse your parents, Chalila, and what's going to happen? Not only will it give you Gehenna, it will cause Kitzur Yomim, and it will cause the life, the Mepharshim say, to be cut short, and in opposition to the Riches Yomim. In contrast, it'll curtail a person's lifespan. That's Yidach Nero, Abashin Choshech, and that's the deepening darkness. Now let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, what's going to happen? Not only will it curtail your life, not only might it result in the Gehenna and the suffering in the next world, but what's going to happen? We have dark times, dark periods in our lives. When the darkness deepens, and when it gets to be a very thick, cloudy darkness, kalomar, as if to say metaphorically, bebo hara, when bad times, when travails, when we fall upon difficult times in life, who are the ones that are always going to come and comfort us? Our parents. Our parents, the familial bond is the strongest bond. It's a bond, again, parents, but in the extended family. Moral says, who are the closest people in your lives? Your siblings. Ach and achot, a brother and sister, share the identical etymology, the same shoresh as echad. Because you are one. You have the same blood, the same gene pool. Achot, ach, and echad. Moral says they're all one. There's a certain closeness that you have in your family and certainly to the parents. And we know, we mentioned this many times, why is a mother called an aim? And because your mother carried you in a womb for 40 days, it was mem yom for your tzivus avad. It took 40 days to conceive the basic structure and form of an embryo. On day 41, she's now carrying a vlad. And that is aim. Gematria Aleph and Mem, it's 41. Right, so you say, guys, I covered. That's why in Lashon HaKodesh, your mother is called an aim. It takes 40 days for the basic form of the vlad. On day 41, she is now an aim. Who is the extension of the aim? The ben, the hemshech, the continuation of an aleph is a beis. Continuation of the mem is a nun. Thus, the hemshech of an aim is the ben, the binyan, the building block on the shorish, on the yisod of the mother. Aleph extends itself to a beis. The mem extends itself to a nun. That is the ben, the extension of the aim, and the ben extending on the av. When you have an av and a ben, that creates evan. That's the building block of life, the building block of any structure. The avon of ayikach me avne hamakol. Evan is av benechad aim bas nechda. Av and ben, it's the union of life. If you go ahead and abuse the people who are supposed to, who will be there for you in your darkest, most difficult times, and what's going to happen, Rashi says, you have no one who will go ahead and give your neshama life back. When you're suffering and depressed into dark times, there's one community you can always count on, and that is your parents, your siblings. And if you go ahead and ruin that relationship, what's going to happen? Your candle, your neshama will not have the continuing energy and fire to keep it going.
How about your spouse?
Again, a spouse should be one's best friend. 100%, and a spouse can always be there. There's still some level of comfort by parents and a sibling, still some level of comfort. 100%, in the absence of that, you have the spouse, and the spouse, of course, is going to do a great job. But sometimes, what if you're having difficulty with a spouse? You still need to come back to parents. You still need the one case of an Ava. We mentioned this based on the Rambam, and Chelek Aleph Amor Nevuchim. And where is Ava first mentioned in the Torah? The ideal form of love is unconditional love. What's the classic case of unconditional love? A parent to a child. And thus, even before we encounter in the pages of Parshas Chayesara, in chapter 24, and verse 67, that Yitzchak loved Rivka. Even before that love, the first love mentioned is at the end of Parshas Vayera, Perchav Dalit. And what does it say at the end of Vayera, before we even turn the pages to Chayesara? Teskachna es bincha es yechircha asher ahavta es Yitzchak. The first mention of Ava in the pages of Chumash is a son who is loved by a parent. Why? The Rambam says because that's the quintessential unconditional love in this world. Parent and a child, a spouse, there could always be a means of conflict, etc. One love you can always fall back on is, and the love that parents should have, which is that unconditional love, and that is that which Shlomo now is addressing. Don't ever say goodbye to that love. Don't ever go ahead and abuse it and curse those parents who brought you into the world. And that is the yesod of Akaras HaTov. It's the same way that Akaras HaTov was the very reason Hashem created man. Rashi says, Abrashis Parkveis Posakei, that we need man to do what? To be makir b'tovasin sholag yashamim, to be makir tov, and thus to daven farein, and then I'm going to create. So Hashem says, you know when Adam sinned? When he was a kafay tov. I gave him chava. What did he do? He blamed the whole first chait. He blamed it all on chava, on this gift of a wife that I gave her. And at the end of the day, you can't be a kafay tov. That destroys the tachlis of b'yetzi. So Mitzrayim is we have to be makar tov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he took us out of slavery. And thus we're always bringing up Yetzias Mitzrayim throughout the Torah, throughout Chazal. That's the yesod. And the yesod of a kafay tov. Mitzvah of kibud av ve'eim. The Sefer HaChinuch writes in Mitzvah Laman and Parshas Yisro, the Yisod, the foundation of honoring one's parents is Hakaras HaTov. Because it doesn't matter if you had a good relationship with them or not. In the end of the day, they brought you into the world, they created you with Hakadosh Baruch Hu, they nurtured you, they raised you, they fostered your growth, and mela, you owe them to go ahead and be Mekalel, is denying that Yisod of Hakaras HaTov. And that's what some of the Mefarshim explain is even going on here in this Pasuk. Mekal Avivimo doesn't just mean that you actively gave them a curse. In the end of the day, I don't need Shlomo Melech to tell me that. And the Torah says, HaMekal Avivimo Mos Yumas. The Pasuk says in Mishpatim, it's forbidden and it brings with it me saying, I'll let it curse your parents. And this is talking even in your heart. Even in your heart, you know, let it curse your parents. Meaning what? Don't deny that curse at Tov. And when people do a favor for you, even if you feel the relationship is no longer the same, so it's one thing about not actively honoring them, but it's another thing altogether to not misuse the power of speech by not only revealing secrets, but to go ahead and turn it against those to whom you owe a debt of gratitude, of everlasting gratitude, and to take that path that should be expressing a curse of Tov, and to use it now to be Mekalel, and that's the worst. Don't let those thoughts come out, and even the thoughts, the Chayyadim says, should not even be there, and we cannot even think those thoughts. Thinking those thoughts themselves is a problem of Kibbutz Avei. In fact, Rav Elia Lopian in Parshas Vaschon and Lev Elio explains that's what Esav was missing in his Kibbutz Aveh. And there's Yerushalmi, a Gemara Yerushalmi, Masechus Sanhedrin, Paragimel Lochaches. And it says that Esav, one day, is going to sit amongst the Tzadikim in Gan Eden. He's going to connivingly get to Gan Eden somehow. Again, this means Hashem is letting him because Hashem wants to teach us the lesson that emerges from this Chazal. Esav is going to don the royal clothing with which he was mechabed, with which he honored his father Yitzchak. And he says, look, everyone, Kibbutz Aveh, who stood out as the prototype of Kibbutz Aveh? Moshe Gamliel says, all my life I was mechabed my parents, my father Yitzchak. V'lo echem mimea ma'ashe Kibbutz Esav is Yitzchak of it. Sherei anina chenosti mebugodim ulchlochem. I went in with the shovel. I wasn't mocked to get dressed up fancy to serve my father. Esav, anytime he went in to serve his father Yitzchak, he would don royal garb. Because he's going in to greet the king. He's going to put on that same royal garb, and he's going to sit amongst the tzaddikim in Gan Eden. Hashem's going to say, Esav, you don't belong here. He says, what do you mean? The Rama and other Rishonim say, all you have to do is one mitzvah bishlei Musa in its entirety, and you got a ticket to Gan Eden. She says, I was in Russia, Esav says, but I did my one mitzvah. I did keep it away, bishlei Musa. Hashem says, no, you didn't. Where was he missing? Anyone know? Where was Esav missing?
He didn't have Kibbutz Aveh.
He didn't have Kibbutz Aveh, but that's a discussion. Is it all one mitzvah or is it two separate mitzvahs? Let's say we all like those. We've shown them that it's two separate mitzvahs. We mechabed one's father, we mechabed one's mother. So here you have the Tanaim attesting that the greatest mechabed Av, basically in history, was Esav. How many people in the world, do you ever know, put on royal garments, made it a whole achana, was going in to greet the king? So what was he missing? Hashem's response in the Yerushalmi is, Esav, let's go back to a pasuk in Chumash, and Parshas told us. Avayomer Esav Belibo. Yikaru Yemei Velavi, Vaharges Yaakov Achi. I can't wait for my father to pass away, and then there'll be the Shiva, and then I'm going to get my brother Yaakov. The hatred was so great, and that what? He never said anything. Vayomer Esav Belibo. But who's going to don him in Shemayim? Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's the Chok Elev and Bochen Klayus, who knows the thought process of Esav. Hashem's going to bring out that pasuk, and that's why he made it into Chumash. Hashem's going to say, Esav, I know what you were thinking inside. What was he thinking inside? And you know what it is? Esav says, of course I love my father, but I can't wait for him to die. And then the hatred for Yaakov was so great that on a certain level, he was hoping that his father would die sooner. And that, so what? So what? Because in Machshava, he wasn't being Machabed his father in Machshava. And that's the idea of this pasuk as well. In the end of the day, Chai Yodim writes, and he paskins his halacha l'maisa, part of Kibbutz Aveh is in your Machshava thinking you have wonderful parents. Even if they're not wonderful parents, but they're wonderful for you.
He didn't even have to wish that he would die quickly. Just the idea that he knew that it would be against what Yitzchak wanted.
But he wouldn't do it until Yitzchak passed away from this
That's
world.
That's true, but if you're talking about Belibo, from my understanding, my conception is, he didn't have to rush his death, but he would be doing after his death that which he knew in his life he would not want him to do.
He would not want Yitzchak to do. I hear. That's also a very good interpretation. In other words, because the Gemara Kedushin Paskins Alach Lamaisa, we have a chiv to be mechabed our parents, afilu la'achar mosam. So to do something that you know that if they would be here, it gets into the question of the Mason, the Gemara discussions of Brachos Yerches, what do they really know? But certainly someone like Yitzchak, and we have many chazals, one knows that that would be something that would disturb him, right? Very good. That could also be a point. So we see that there was definitely something missing, and that keep it up in. He was hoping that his father would die. And how would he be able to kill Yaakov? Listen to this Kli Yakar. Kli Yakar says, why was he saying Yikru Yemei V'Avi? Why wish for Yemei V'Avi? Why not just say, I can't wait for Yitzchak to die. And when Yitzchak dies, I'm going to go in and kill Yaakov. What's Yemei Avil? Because an Avil is not allowed to learn Torah and Shiva. So in the end of the day, if Yitzchak dies, Yaakov can lock himself in a base medrash. Same way the Yitzhar couldn't get David as long as David was learning. As long as Yaakov was learning Torah, Esav would not be able to kill him. And he knew that. He knew that he has the shield of the Torah. But he knows that once Yitzchak dies, Yaakov has to sit Shiva for his father. Once he's sitting Shiva, and an Ovel is not allowed to learn Torah, Yikru Yemei Avil Avi, writes the Kli Yakar when he's in Avelus, that's my only chance that I could get to kill him. Because otherwise he'll be learning every second. My chance to kill him is because an Ovel cannot learn Torah. That's the way to go in and get a Yaakov. So Esav was kicked out, the Yerushalmi continues. Once Hashem showed him how he didn't even do that one mitzvah in its entirety, he takes Esav out of Gan Eden and he throws him into Gehenna. And finally, just continuing with one more pasuk for today, on the idea of relationship with one's parents. Nachala, when it comes to an inheritance, we always know, and when there's a will, there's always a relative right nearby. And Nachala, Mivocheles, or really we read it Mivocheles, Loshin Bahala, Barishona, an inheritance that comes down. What happens? If it's seized very quickly, Barishon at the outset, in the very beginning, then Acharisalo Tavarach, the end will not be blessed. Don't get into fights over inheritance. If you're running to seize the inheritance, again, that's an expression of what? The Hemshech. One is to be Makala of Avimo. The next thing is, what do we know the parents don't want? They don't want the children to fight over inheritance. That's another act of Kilo cursing your parents. The one thing the parents want, more than anything, is for their kids to get along. So that's an expression of Makala of Avimo. If an inheritance is going to come down to the family and everyone's looking to seize it quickly, and then you know what? Acharis lo tavarach. The end will not be blessed. The Siyata Dishmaya will not be there. And unfortunately, there are cases. I remember in Eretz Yisrael, someone showed me an apartment in Shari Chesed. An apartment, it was $1 million property. And I said, why? The weeds were growing all over the place and everything. There was mold on $1 million property. And the mamish, the heart of Yerushalayim. And somebody told me he knows the family. There were several kids. It's been already 10 years fighting over there. They're still paying property taxes. So each of the four kids, they're losing a tremendous amount of money when they could have built up the property, sold it for over $1 million, split and everything would have been fine. 10 years, they're paying property taxes. They're losing money because they can't agree. Everyone's running to it. And that's that. That hurts the parents more than anything else. If you want to see Siyata Dishmaya, take your time, work it out, bring in a Rav, bring in a Beis Din. Make sure you get along. That's the ikkar. That's what the parents want. And don't want to go ahead and seize it. We'll continue with the idea of revenge in Mitzvah Shem next Monday. That's paying back up and seeking revenge. That's Shlomo Melech and the Midos Department. Posach HaBeis, Mitzvah, we'll see you next Monday. Have a wonderful day and a great week up ahead.
There was a house in Lawrence like that for years.